Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Inside R&E. I am your host, Michael Pensabeni, and for those of you who don't know me, I am a member of the Real Estate Litigation Department. I've been at Rosenberg & Estes for over 24 years, and given that the firm is celebrating its 50th anniversary, I'm particularly proud to be associated with half of those years. I'm particularly excited about today's episode, Maximizing Payments on Insurance Claims. I think this is an important topic that would be informative to many of our clients. And I think that many of our clients are going to benefit from today's program. I can tell you that having worked at Rosenberg & Estes for 24 years, I've seen many catastrophic events and many circumstances. And today's episode, I think, is really going to provide some guidance for them. With me today is Phil Maltagatti. He's a principal at United Public Adjusters and Appraisers. They are a prominent public adjusting company in New York City, which has consistently met its clients' expectations and exceeded all expectations with respect to payments on insurance proceeds. So welcome, Phil.
Thanks, Michael, for having me. I appreciate it.
Phil, I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, before we met a few years ago, I really didn't understand what public adjusters do. I didn't understand the need for it. And I can tell you now I have a much deeper understanding. And just by way of example, I've had a client who had a fire in the building and they were looking at what to do. It was a very severe fire. And they said, it'll be great. This is an opportunity for us to really, you know, do something differently and build up and maximize what we could do with this footprint. And it turned out that they didn't do what they wanted to do because the insurance proceeds fell short, but they didn't do anything to really advocate for their claim. And I know that's a lot of what you do and what you specialize in. So please explain how a public adjuster would come into a situation like that and work with clients to maximize their claims.
When we handle property losses for policyholders, the goal is to get every dollar the insured is entitled to, right? And so the word maximize is a tricky word because we're just getting every dollar you're entitled to for what you've lost and it's physically damaged, right? The worst scenario is you have a fire in this building and you don't know how to prepare and present your claim and you get shortchanged. And if that happens, you're not going to have enough money to repair what's physically damaged, such as the common hallways, the elevator, the stonework that was damaged in the lobby. And so all the things that you know you have to do after a fire, if you don't get the proper compensation and the insurance company minimizes the claim payout, obviously you're going to be in the worse position than you were before.
How do you go about doing that? What's the process in engaging with the insurance company to make sure that they're processing the claim the way that it should be and that's most advantageous for the claimant?
I think the first step is just being very proactive. The way we approach claims is that as soon as we're brought on by the policyholder, we show them that we know what we're talking about, one, right? Meaning we interpret the policy. So straight out of the gate, we're going to the insurance company saying, here's the size of the claim based on our initial inspection. Here's what policy coverages would kick in. And then we're immediately having an assessment done at the building. So we're bringing in our own in-house building estimator. We're doing inventories of any business, personal property in this specific situation. We're just really being proactive in the claim management. And I think when you come out of the gate, you want to come out strong. You want to show them that you know what you're talking about and that you're highlighting all the damages that you saw during your initial inspection.
So what are those factors? I mean, how does that differ from an insurance company? The insurance company has its own adjuster go out, and that adjuster is looking at the same things. And how is it that two different adjusters are looking at the same things and coming up with different numbers and different results? Because a lot of times clients will just rely on that insurance company's adjuster and think that those are the correct numbers. Is there really a lot of flexibility in what they're finding?
Well, there's a difference, right? So one, the insurance company adjuster coming out there is looking at the loss in the eyes of the insurance company. So that's one item. Two, you hope that the adjuster they're sending out actually has experience, because even if he wants to be fair and wants to look for the damages that you're seeing, he may not see it because he doesn't have a trained eye, right? I mean, in this business, one thing that our team has, we have trained eyes. We know what to look for. When we walk into a room, we're just not looking straight ahead and saying, oh, look at that fire. We're looking to the right, the left. We want to know what's behind the wall. We want to know how the building was built, how it was constructed. And then we want to know, how could smoke or water affect the building materials, right? And so these are all the thought process that we have when we go into a claim. And I think most adjusters representing insurance companies are not thinking outside the box or understanding how fire works and how smoke travels and what water can do. And I think that's really the difference, is that we really think of the big picture. If I do step one, how many more steps is behind there? And I'll give you an example. If I pull into a parking garage to go park my car and to go in the building, do an inspection, before I even enter that building, as a public adjuster, I'm automatically thinking, how much money is going to cost a contractor to work in this building? How about the trades? Where are they parking? How far is the parking garage? Is there street parking? Is there a freight elevator? All these things go in our minds as we're entering a building, because we want to say, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of someone actually doing the job. When you do that, you can then write a proper estimate for the repairs. Otherwise, you're not really putting yourself in the policyholder's shoes, right? And so there's a big difference the way we look at claims versus an insurance company representative.
And an insurance company representative isn't necessarily looking with that trained eye for that specific type of claim, whereas that's something that you would specialize in, and it's not necessarily something that the client may focus on or even know about themselves. You know, dealing with these claims to a risk management department, the risk management director who's ever processing the claim isn't going to have that, you know, hands-on familiarity with every detail of what needs to be done in order to make sure all of those costs are being accounted for. So I can totally appreciate that, especially knowing how my clients work on these types of claims. How much of a difference have you made? I mean, do you have any claims that you're particularly proud of, or big cases that you've had that you've made a really big impact on?
I think all the claims we touch and handle, we've made an impact on. But if we're talking about a residential high rise, I can think of this one recently. In fact, I just produced a YouTube video for it. Actually, we interviewed the board president to hear his own feedback. He's also a former property manager. You know, for him, and in this specific case, we met the insurance company at the site after a fire. And again, they were looking at, oh, there's a fire in the first floor in the apartment, physical damages to one apartment. We simply went straight to the videos. We asked our client, I want a copy of all the surveillance videos of the entire building. I want to see the firemen pulling up. I want to see them stretching the line. I want to see the smoke protruding outside the front door. And I want to see all the debris that was accumulated during the fireman efforts. So in that case, you know, again, we want to see all the evidence. We want to ask the resident manager, what super, to provide their photos, what they saw. And it's like the evidence recovery helps you prove a loss, right? Showing that smoke did travel throughout the building. But this specific case, if we weren't involved, I can tell you the insurance company was not going to pay for a lot of things. One, they were questioning the damages to the elevator. They said there was no smoke damage to the elevator. Sure enough, I have a camera in the elevator, and the fireman's in the elevator, and you can't see him anymore. Clearly, there was smoke in the elevator, right? I couldn't think of a better smoking gun than this situation here. And then he gets off the elevator, and where do you think the smoke goes? It goes in the corridors.
Yeah, yeah.
So to say there's no smoke in the corridors of the entire building just didn't match reality. You know, then we collected the pictures and videos of the mitigation efforts, because they were brought in before we got involved. And we see them cleaning the elevator room with their chemical sponges, and they're removing smoke across ceiling. It went from black to white. Clearly, a fire that was in a first floor apartment reached the roof, if you think about it, right? The elevator room's in the top level.
Right.
So, you know, in that case specifically, it's through our hard work and dedication of proving the loss that we got our client a substantial settlement, which allowed them to beautifully renovate the building. In fact, I was there recently. The lobby is night and day because of the money they received for the physical damages. The apartment looks great. The windows that were broken in the courtyard all replaced. They're springtime is here. They're setting up the scaffolding. They're about to do the brick pointing. So yeah, we definitely see a sizable difference in our involvement just because we're hands-on. We put the entire claim together. There's a lot of moving parts, but we make it look easy because that's what we do for a living.
So when the insurance company makes the claim, is there an accounting afterwards that you would stay engaged in, or the check is cut and the job is over? They don't care to follow up with the claim anymore.
Our file stays open no matter what. So when we handle a claim, most claims are paid out on an actual cash value basis. Let's give you an example. Let's say the claim set is at $1 million and they hold back 20% in recoverable depreciation because the insured purchased replacement cost coverage. And depreciation is based on age and condition of the materials. So in that case, our client gets a check for $800,000. Our file stays open and we're working closely with our client because once they exceed the $800,000 and up to the settlement of $1 million, we're collecting their receipts, the contract, their invoices, the proof of payments, the pictures of the repairs, and we're going to make a presentation for the holdback recovery. And Michael, one more thing that's a little secret that no one really likes to talk about here is ordinance or law coverage. Most policies have ordinance or law coverage, and you know, also known as code upgrade insurance. You may be required to install a sprinkler system in a building after a fire that wasn't normally required. You may be required to install an elevator into a building that didn't have one before, or increase the energy code through insulation or other factors in the building. And so we educate our clients what the policy has, and then we work closely with whoever the architect and engineer is to make sure that we properly notify the insurance company that our client is intending on pursuing a code upgrade claim based on the physical damages, and that the policy has to address these damages and the cost to fix it.
And that all depends on how the policy is written. And that's something that you would want to know at the outset of making your claim. So when do you get involved? When's the best time to get a public adjuster involved with processing a claim? How does that work?
Well, if you don't know us, you're not going to call us. So, that's why it's really important for us as a firm to stay top of mind and always be connecting and meeting other executives and professionals or advisors, such as risk managers or insurance brokers or property managers. But the best time to call us is always the beginning. If you call us in the beginning, we'll have time to do a free policy review, send you a detailed email. If it's a co-op condo, we'll interpret your proprietary lease, your bylaws. If it's a co-op condo, we'll review your alteration agreement. And you say, why? Because every building has their own agreement that unit owners have to follow, and that may affect the cost of your job, right? It could be a time limit to finish the project. It could be setting up extra protection that you normally wouldn't have to do. So when we are involved in the beginning, we're able to review the policy, educate you, the policyholder, and then we handle the claim reporting, meeting the insurance company. If it's a fire, we're meeting the fire investigator, right. We're meeting all their experts. There's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of reasons why you want someone advocating you from day one.
Now, I just want to take a step back because I want to make sure I heard you correctly. The client makes the first call. They have a catastrophic event. They call you, and your initial work is for free. You're looking at the policy at no charge to them and giving them insight on what they could possibly do before there's a charge. How does that work? At what extent do you provide those free services? That's great.
It's all part of the interview process. I think for any company, when you're interviewing to be engaged on a job, you want to give free value, right? So our free value to the client, whether they hire us or not, is we're going to review their policy. We're going to review all the building documents or leases that we need to. We're literally going to spend hours sending you an email of everything that you have in your policy and how it relates to the damages we saw during our inspection. And it's then at that point, we hope the policyholder takes the time and consideration to make an informed decision on whether we're the right firm. Because if we're willing to do that now, what are we going to do going forward when we're representing them? And I think that's kind of the value add we offer.
Well, that's great. So that's a policy review. That's an inspection. That's putting together your analysis of what the claim could possibly be before the client has any kind of obligation whatsoever to engage you. That's fantastic. I'm just trying to think of a reason why someone wouldn't call you first if there's a catastrophic event. And I can't imagine that circumstance. I think that's a great resource that you provide to clients. How did you get started doing this, Phil?
So in 2005, during Hurricane Katrina, my brother, who's my partner, and we're twins, just so you know, and you know that already anyway, but we got invited to help out an estimator who was representing an insurance company to go out there and take notes on physical damages in the French quarters. I personally didn't go down there. My partner did. And within 3 weeks, he got sick. He didn't know the harmful effects of dealing with buildings filled with mold. And of course, he came back with a fever. There's a lot of issues going into damaged buildings that our team is so trained to handle now. But back then, this was an introduction, right, to this industry. We saw a need for advocates representing the policyholder at that time. And then we did some heavy research. From there, we were interviewing public adjusters and other people in the industry. And what is a public adjuster? How do you get into the business? What's the value add, right? All the questions that someone would want to know before you get into that profession. Come around 2008, we said, you know what? Let's go on our own. So we got licensed in 2008, you know, after 3 years of really learning the industry. And we came in strong. We knew the importance of reading policies. At that time, we actually met two separate law firms who represented policyholders, and we would bounce ideas back and forth on policy interpretation. So in essence, my growth, our company really started just by asking questions, right? And so we worked with two separate law firms who were pro policyholder advocates, and we were pro policyholder advocates. And between the three firms, we kind of grew together at the same time, really learning how to interpret policies and making sure that whoever our client was, they were getting a fair shake and proper representation.
That's great. And just, you know, you mentioned Katrina and Louisiana. Where's your zone? Where do you work? I mean, is it nationwide or you focus in one particular area?
So our main corporate headquarters is here in New York. We have multiple offices, New York City and Long Island. And we're licensed in over 25 states, I believe, right now.
Wow.
Right now, we're currently the largest public adjuster firm in New York who believes in processes, meaning that we have our own in-house construction estimators. We have our own personal property inventory department. We have two CPAs and three accountants that work for us handling business interruption claims because we represent a lot of hotels and restaurants and professional offices. And, you know, we have the in-house staff to process files. And for those reasons, our clients that we built a relationship with and trust and loyalty, when they decide to buy buildings in other states, they don't want to start a new relationship with a new public adjusting firm, right? They call us up and they're like, can you handle it? And at that point, we'll say, well, it'll take 3 days to get our license in that state. Some you have to take a test, some are reciprocal. And so we do. And before you know it, we're the go-to for large landlords who want one trusted public adjusting firm to represent them wherever they own properties. So that's how we grew to 25 states.
That's awesome. I can imagine that broad scope has exposed you to a lot of different types of catastrophes too. Not just talking floods and fires, I can imagine tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, I don't know what. I mean, what types of catastrophes have you dealt with?
You know, it's funny you say that. Every state has its own unique issues, right? Like Florida, you have your hurricanes. Well, if we use New York, you have your everyday claims, fire and water, and it may have an earthquake, right? Recently.
That's right.
Recently in New York, I think what we're seeing over the years, and we've been in business a long time now, we're seeing a lot more flooding events, a lot more backups,
yeah,
a lot more rain events here in New York, just locally and in areas that we've never seen before. And then, you know, not long ago, we were in Minnesota. And Minnesota, their biggest issue is they go into a deep freeze, 10, 20 below freezing. And that specific case that we had, that was a 50,000 square foot building. It was an old government building. Sure enough, the pipes froze in the building. That claim for damages was seven figures all day long. And that was a very complex, moving claim that required a lot of attention and detail on our part, which that's kind of our value add, right? And that client was a repeat client again, right? Why do we get licensed in other states? Because of clients, they trust us.
And that's interesting. And, you know, some claims I might not even think could be a claim. and you might have the creativity to see that there's a claim that could be filed if the client wanted to do so. So, you know, would it make sense to consult with you before even filing a claim? If there's a catastrophe, maybe you're the first call before the insurance company in some instances. Does that make sense? Have you had experience handling claims like that?
Our office receives a lot of intake leads that come into the office on a regular basis, and we're doing those policy reviews. They're calling, am I covered? This just happened. And so again, it goes back to the free value. We'll ask for a copy of policy, pictures of the loss. We take notes on what they're saying to us, and then we're sending them a detailed email highlighting, well, your coverage says this compared to what you're describing to us. And sometimes we're giving bad news, right? Like, by the way, that we don't think that loss would be covered, but we also give a disclosure. We're not the insurance company. This is our interpretation. If you feel that you want to proceed, please contact your insurance company. But it's that value add that we're constantly giving to prospective clients and clients to make sure that we're on the same page. We believe the best client for us is an educated client.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really great, Phil. And I know that you put a lot of effort into, you know, the service that you provide to clients. And I know that that's shown in your immediacy of your responses and you being available 24/7. Any other differentiators that differentiate you from other public adjusters? I mean, I don't know any besides you. So, you know, what makes you a special and apart from your competitors?
I think all public adjusters serve a great purpose, and there's not enough public adjusters in the States, especially here in New York. And I think what be the competitive advantage of United Public Adjusters versus another public adjusting firm, because I tend to know the other players that are out there. We show empathy. We care. We believe in the attention to detail. We know how to interpret a policy, which is definitely a big strength for us. And more importantly, we know what things cost. When we prepare an estimate for damages, we know what it costs, how long it takes to do it, and we know the challenges that contractors face, so that when we're presenting that claim for damages, we stand behind it and we support it against the insurance company to make sure our client is properly compensated. And I don't know the level of experience that most public adjusters have, but we've taken this profession so seriously that every day we're learning something new. And if we don't know something, we're gonna find a way to know it, because we want to be the right advocate for our client through any challenge they come across.
That's great. That's really great. And I have one really important question now is, how do clients contact you when they have a crisis?
They can reach out to our office number, or they'll call the public adjusters they're being referred to directly on their cell phone, because we're very accessible. But our main number is 1-800-718-LOSS, which is 5677. But you can reach us via LinkedIn, which I have a big presence on there. We want to be reachable. As public adjusters, we try to get our name out there. We want to talk about success stories. We want people to know they have a right to reach out to a public adjuster if they have a claim that warrants one.
That's great, Phil. I really appreciate you being on the show. Again, your services, I think, are invaluable to clients, and the fact that you have that free service up front, consultation to help them understand what to do with their claims before they even file them, I think it's fantastic. I think every client should really consider, you know, giving you a call if there's a crisis and in time of need. So I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate you reaching out to our clients, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Mike, so much for having me today.